This conference will now be recorded.
The time I have is 4:35 on Thursday, February 18th, 2021. This is Public Works, Public Safety Committee. And I will call our meeting to order. We will go ahead with present council members doing roll call, and then I'll mention the others that are joining us as well. Andrew Plowman is here. Audrey Nelson.
Here.
Justin Osk.
Here.
Julie Osmus.
Here.
Thank you. And joining us, we actually have a bunch of people, so I'll just go down the list. We have our city administrator, Mr. Grommets. We have our public works, or I'm sorry, our park rec director, Mr. Baumgarten, our public works director, Mr. Christensen, our public works superintendent, Mr. Manzer. Also joining us, I see, I see Shelby with the West Central Tribune. I see, and I can't see, I'm running out of eyes, but I believe we also, Rob, let me know who else is here because my list is running off my screen.
Chairman, we have Gretchen Otness. She is the chair of the Events and Rec Center. Dana Helbachek, he is the architect from WSN, part of the recreation field. Later on in the meeting, Tony Ammon, the chair of the rec fields, and Chris Labs from LSE will be on as well.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Welcome, Gretchen and Dana. Thank you for joining us as well. We will go ahead and we'll start due to time sensitivity. Let's go ahead and take care of our action items first, if that's okay with everybody.
Andrew, you also want to include Kelsey Del Bosque.
Yes, my error there. Kelsey Del Bosque is also there taking notes and managing this meeting and probably on the ball with all the little details that we need as it may happen. First item up for bid. I have Public Works skid loader purchase. And Mr. Christensen, are you taking this one or should Mr. Manzer handle this one?
I got this one, and Manzer can fill in details that I miss. That's all right, Mr. Chair.
That's certainly fine.
In front of you tonight is a recommendation to approve the purchase of a 21 T76 T4 Bobcat skid steer loader with attachments from FarmRight in the amount of $75,786. This, of course, is in the vehicle replacement program, or capital outlay program, rather. The unit will take, the new unit will replace the 2008 model S205 skid steer scheduled for replacement. This unit has tracks and a stump grinder. We're finding that tracks do a lot less damage in yards and things of that nature. And so we're going to go with tracks on this particular model. It's got some other details in your car form there. It features variable flow auxiliary hydraulics, which is fancy terms, interlock control system, rollover protection, and falling object protection to keep the operators safe. Purchase of the unit is from state bid pricing through contract number 170700. The amount of $63,257.25. $30,028.75 are allocated for attachments. After trade-in, we got a trade-in credit of $17,500. Total purchase is $75,786, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Mr. Christensen. All right, the recommended action would be adopting resolution approving the purchase of the 2021 T4 Bobcat. How does the committee wish to act?
I'll make a motion to make that purchase.
I can second, Nelson.
All right, thank you. We have a motion and a second authorizing that purchase. Discussion. Going once, going twice. We have a motion and a second adopting the resolution approving the purchase of the 2021 T4 Bobcat skid loader in the amount or from FarmRight of Wilmer in the amount of $75,786 after trade-in of the 2008 Bobcat S-205. Roll call. Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Ask.
Aye.
Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Next item I have is a Kubota purchase for the wastewater department. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Similarly, for the wastewater, as well with the vehicle capital outlay program, this one would approve or recommend approving purchase and replacement of it for a 2020 Kubota F2690 from Howe Kubota in the amount of $38,114.68. This one will be replaced in a 2014 Kubota F3680 with a Kubota 2690 mower with attachments. It's got some other details. Mower is 24 horsepower diesel, front mount unit, 72 inch rear discharge deck, and a 51 inch snow blower attachment. The current 14 unit has issues with burning some oil, as well as the heating system will be traded in on this purchase through the National Joint Powers. They've got the contract number there. The unit price of $38,000 and change, trade-in value of $15,400 for a total $22,714.68.
All right, thank you. Recommended action will be adopting a resolution approving the purchase of the 2020 Kubota from Haug. The total capital outlay program includes $30,000 for this. Looks like the unit price is $38,114.68. We have a trade-in. Our total would be $22,714.68, but I noticed that the resolution that you're looking for is in the amount of $38,114. Is that correct?
You know, I guess I'd kind of leave that up to the committee. Do we, or what we've done in the past, do we do the resolution on the actual purchase price or total out the door pricing? I'm not entirely sure. I can change it to whichever you wish.
I believe it would be out the door if it, once the trade is considered, because that's the entirety of the action, but somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, and in response to that, yeah, that's what we did on the Bobcat one previously. So we can change that verbiage to make it the out the door cost.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the most accurate reflection of the action that we're taking. So, yep. And it is a lesser number and it falls within our capital outlay program, therefore will not or shouldn't result in as many questions, I guess.
That's my bad on that. Sorry about that. We'll get that fixed.
Questions? Or somebody want to take action on the item?
I'll make that motion, and then I'll also, on the previous motion for the Bobcat, unless Mr. Grammitz is going to pipe in here, but I'll make the motion for the out the door cost, the final cost of what we're writing out the check for. Correct? That's what we're with the trade in? Yeah.
I think.
Okay.
That's the right amount. The first motion was the right amount.
Okay.
So we're just going to follow suit, which means we got to change this number in the paperwork, and we just got to make sure that our motion reflects that.
Okay, I'll make a motion for $22,714.68 for a final cost of from the $38,000 amount with the reduction of the trade-in.
Looking for a second.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion you want to have about this? Mr. Grammitz, go ahead.
Yeah, technically, I'm not necessarily commenting on the mower purchase itself, more or less the process. Just as a reminder that the city council is the only entity that's required by charter to approve things by resolution. So what we've done with all of these council action request forms at the committee level, is there a simple motion which then recommends that the city council adopt a resolution to purchase. So the resolution you have with you is actually the one the city council will adopt. It's not one that the committee is actually adopting, because we're utilizing the simple motion process. It should speed things up, but I know it might, it's a little bit confusing from what we've done in the past, but in trying to meet the letter of the charter, we decided to change the CAR forms to reflect that all the committee motions and seconds are a motion to recommend this council adopt a resolution. And that's, they're the actual final say on it. So, and the committees are all recommending an action. So it kind of flows in a logical way, but I just wanted to point that out if you noticed it. And so that's why it's worded the way it's worded.
Right, that the city council, so we are motioning the city council approve the resolution.
That is correct.
Got it, okay. And that is, from the last time that you described it, I believe that was the impression that we got, but we got to just make sure that we follow suit with how we talk about it too, I think, to get it burned into our brain. Okay, so with that all said, any further discussion regarding the Kubota mower slash blower? Seeing and hearing none, we will go ahead and vote on that motion, approving the 2020 Kubota in the amount of $22,714.68. It is purchased through the contract price from Hull Kubota here in Wilmer. Councilman Ask, sorry.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
And Councilman Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Next item we have for discussion will be the Epitopics Water Main and Sanitary Sewer Professional Services. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In front of you now is two separate motions, as Brian just explained, that will recommend the council adopt a resolution entering into these two agreements. The two agreements, both with Bolton and Mink, one is for professional services related to a wastewater design and construction inspection, basically all engineering services for the wastewater line that would go out and serve Epitopics. That's also in conjunction with the grant that Aaron Backman with the EDC was instrumental in achieving. The second motion is water line that goes to the same location, but is not grant funded when it comes to construction. We're not talking about construction necessarily tonight. We're talking about the agreement to enter into with Bolton and Mink to design each of these items. The reason I separated them out was in case the council decides at a later date upon recommending construction to not do the water because there is not grant funds available. So that's why I separated them out, but they will be designed clearly at the same time if we do both construction projects. I think, why don't I leave it at that for the motion, and then I can answer any questions if that's what you wish, Mr. Chair.
Okay, with regards to the projects, if you have questions specific to either the sanitary sewer extension or the water main extension, we'll discuss those separately after we make our motions. If you have a question with regards to the entirety of the project or the process of what we're doing tonight, right now would be the time to speak to that. Councilwoman Nelson.
The way you've divided those out, does that also indicate who's going to pay for the professional services? That the professional services for what's in the grant can run through the grant, but the others cannot?
That's correct. And in fact, I cannot remember if the grant can pay for professional services or some of, I'd have to look into that. But I didn't separate out professional services. Actually, I did. Under the budgetary on your car form, the engineering is separated out per project. And then I added contingencies in there for a total budget. But that is separated out. And I don't know. I can't remember the grant for engineering or not. I need to look into that.
Okay, so if the grant can't, where is this budgeted somewhere? That's my question.
I believe we've got it in the CIP for this year, or for next year, for 21 actually. So so the wastewater, I believe, is in the CIP.
Okay, other questions about the entire, everything that we're doing tonight before we make any motions, talking about the specific motions themselves. Mr. Grammons, go ahead.
Just as a reminder, we had originally applied for half the water and half the sewer cost to the state of Minnesota, and they responded by saying, we'll pay for all of the sanitary sewer, but you got to pay for all of the water. And so that's why it's split out the way it is, why sanitary sewer is grant funded and the water is not. And as Sean noted, that's going to be our responsibility to find the funds to actually construct it and pay for the engineering.
It might be helpful before council meeting that we understand where the funds are coming from for what you're asking us to approve. I'm assuming we can go forward with it, because I know we've talked about this before. I just don't remember the specifics of, because I think the utilities was involved and the city was involved, and I just think it would be helpful for us to understand the financing side of it.
Yeah, and I'll expand on that budgetary for the council meeting next week, or 2 weeks now, I think. But I will expand on that. And I've got a question in right now to Jared with Bolton & Mink, see if he remembers for sure if the grant can pay for engineering. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I will have that answer for you and have it broke down. And further, MUC, you'll notice, is not in the paragraph at all, because per our memorandum of agreement with them, MUC will not pay for any new water lines to a development. And so MUC will not be funding any of this at this time.
If I'm remembering correctly, though, there was a real reason to do the water at the same time, both for epitopics, but also for cost. Am I not correct?
Or
are they separate locations also?
They're separate locations. The water is shorter because it's already closer, because it's out by where Quam Construction used to be, in the elevator area off the end of First Avenue. So it's a shorter run, and you can see a lesser cost. I don't think they have to be done together. You might get the same contractor, you might not. So I'm not sure we're saving a significant amount of money by doing them together.
But doesn't Epitopics need the water in order to do the remodeling or whatever they were planning to do?
They don't need it. They're on wells. They would like it. And I know Aaron has had conversations with Epitopics about pitching in the money for the water line. And so he just started those conversations today. And so in 2 weeks, maybe I'll know more about that. I don't know for sure. But again, if we approve this CERT professional services agreement and never exercise anything on the water line, we've paid nothing. But the time we've discussed it is all, we're out at this point. So my recommendation would be approve the services, and then we can separately approve the design and construction.
So you're saying even if we approve the engineering for the water, that we won't go ahead with that until we know if we're going to do water? Or how will we, when will we know that?
Soon, I hope. But that, your first question is, the answer is yes. We are not committing ourselves to construction of these projects at this time. This is just committing ourselves to use Bolton & Mink as a design if we go forward with this construction.
But are we designing it even if we don't go ahead? I mean, are we spending the design dollars whether we do it or not? Maybe that's a better way to say it.
Right, I would say no. I guess that's up to you. If council wants to, then absolutely. But I would say that we need to make a decision, are we doing it, and then jump in and do it. If we decide not to, then basically the contract is just expires because we don't exercise it.
But we want to do this motion tonight, whether we know that or not.
That's my recommendation. Because there's some options that we're discussing. We're discussing funding from Epitopics. I don't feel comfortable asking council for $1 million to build a water line for a couple businesses. I'm pretty sure I know what the answer is going to be, so I don't want to waste everybody's time. And so this doesn't cost us money. This just says if we get the money situated and approved through council, then we can go forward with the design. Honest, I didn't try to make it convoluted. I tried to make it easier.
I understand that. I'm just trying to clarify because the motion is basically saying to adopt the resolution to enter into an agreement for professional services. So
that's correct. Not construction.
Yep, and I guess, well, I understand Audrey's point that should we decide to not do construction, are we still going to have that engineered or not? Basically is a big thing. So, or if the council decides to that project is off the table for a while, are we also going to save the money for engineering until we're actually ready for that project? I guess, is that correct, Ms. Nelson?
Yeah, no, I'm all for the project for Epitopics, but I'm confused with whether we're engaging the engineering, even if we don't do it, because that's what it looks like the motion is for.
Yeah, and we can reword the motion if you like. My intent is to basically secure engineering services if council chooses to do the project.
Okay, so could there be maybe a contingency added? Maybe we could have the motion read as it does with the contingency that the council decides to go ahead with the project?
I would be okay with that.
Mr. Grammis, do you see any problem with that?
No, I think that's a good solution to this. Just make it contingent upon the project proceeding.
Okay, so the motion we are looking for would be a motion to recommend the City Council adopt a resolution entering into an agreement with Bolton and Mink for professional services related to the Epitopics water main extension in the amount of $111,760, contingent on project approval by the City Council.
I will make that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion regarding the water main extension. Okay, then we shall vote. Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Ask.
Aye.
Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
And Councilman Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. The second motion that we have would be a motion to recommend the City Council adopt a resolution entering into an agreement with Bolton and Mink for professional services related to the Epitopics sanitary sewer extension in the amount of $189,590. How does the council or the committee wish to act?
I can make that motion. That's one we need to do to proceed with the grant. All right?
Correct.
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second discussion about this project. Okay, let's go ahead and vote. Councilman Ask.
Aye.
Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Next agenda item would be a MnDOT Cooperative Construction Agreement. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This one should go pretty simple, and it seems a little silly to have an agreement for $1,000, but that's what you have in front of you. It's a cooperative construction agreement, which is a standard agreement with MnDOT. This is for the overlay project that MnDOT will be performing on East Highway 12 from 6th Street to, they've got the footage in there, 26th Street. And then we will, the city will participate in the cost to adjust a couple manhole frames and rings to the tune of about $1,000.
All right, we're looking for a motion to recommend the City Council adopt a resolution approving the cooperative construction agreement with MnDOT for city-owned utility relocation along Trunk Highway number 12. And the dollar figure as noted, $1,115.38. How does the committee wish to act?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion and then a second. Approving what I just said. Let's go ahead and, well, is there further discussion? No? Okay, we will vote. Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Ask.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Moving along, we are getting into the fun stuff now. And topic of conversation will be the advertisement of bids for the Invest in Wilmer Events and Recreation Center project. And I believe this one is going to Mr. Baumgarten. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, we still have the Highway 12 lift station on there.
Oh, jeepers, criminy.
So we're not quite to fun stuff yet.
Yep, you're right. I missed it. Let's do the lift station first. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. This is to a motion to recommend adoption of resolution to enter an agreement with Bolton and Mink again for professional services, this time for the Highway 12 lift station elimination. This one is in the capital plan, has been for many years. A little background, this is going to be a little different than our standard lift station replacement that we've all been through a number of times. This one we're actually getting rid of a lift station and putting in an extremely deep gravity line that will carry the load on the west side of town. Current lift station is over 50 years old, is at maximum capacity. Upon major rainstorms, we have to bypass this one on a regular basis. And I don't know if I have in here the amount of pump cycles a day, but it's significant. I don't think I have that in here. It probably wouldn't mean much to everybody, but the pump station runs significantly more than it needs to, or than it should, that it's designed to, just to keep up with existing volume. We've had, if you remember, when the unique apartments came in, they wanted to drain wastewater to this pump. We wouldn't let them because of the capacity issues. We've had a couple other potential developments talk about the area that we've said there's no sewer, additional sewer capacity until this station is eliminated. So that has over the years prompted us to pull this one forward in the CIP. It is in the CIP and includes $700,000 in funds for and this would be for professional services. Yeah, the final fees will be negotiated and presented at the committee meeting. That's what we're doing now. So that's what you have in front of you is the agreement, the proposal from Bolton and Mink for the fees. And let me get to that page. Page 56 of 64 in your packet is the total estimated fees at $130,525.
Okay, let's open it up for discussion. How does the committee wish to act on this item? If if in any way?
I will make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second recommending the City Council adopt a resolution entering into an agreement with Bolton and Mink for professional services related to the Highway 12 lift station elimination. Questions? Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I may, I am looking through this CAR form again, and I approved it without the total fees in the CAR form. So they will be there for the council meeting. I apologize for that.
Yeah, I went down and I found the fees. I guess my main question is going to be number one. I understand it's a CIP project. Is it CIP for design this year and construction next, the following year? I mean, there's no way we can do all this for $700,000, is there?
You know, most of the lift stations have been coming in that $600 to $750 range. And so I believe yes. And actually this one was slated to begin design last year in 2020 with construction this year.
Oh, okay. So
that is the total amount for both of the CIP years, if you will.
So we will have, once we contract with, or if the motion passes and if the council passes it, we'll have roughly $500,000 for the construction portion of the project?
Yes.
Okay. Other questions or conversation items, concerns? Mr. Grommets, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Mr. Christensen and myself had a conversation about this, and that's why the number was actually left off, because I think we left it that Sean was going to talk with the Bolton Mink representatives to identify if in fact that was the real number. And simply put, it's a very high percentage of the total project. Those of you that, you know, are into construction know, you know, the bigger the project, the smaller the percentage of project the engineer architect usually charges. So 10 million might charge 5%. $1 million project may charge 7% or 8%. This is on the upper end, and I think I had asked that we check with the architectural firm or the engineering firm to verify that this was the correct number for that project. It's, as a percentage, it's rather high. I mean, it's like 18%, you know, of the project. And that's kind of high for a small project like this. But I just wanted John to verify that. And I think that can be done before the City Council.
I was going to say, if we can, then this would be, it seems like this would be the appropriate motion, not delineating a certain dollar amount. And then if we can have that actual dollar amount, I will pull the item for discussion and we can talk about that specific dollar amount at the council meeting. Does that seem appropriate to everybody? Okay, Councilwoman Nelson, go ahead.
Thank you. Could we also have the amount that was in the 2020 budget and what was in the 2021 budget? Because that is... it's referenced in Bolton and Mink's letter that it's coming out of 2 years CIPs. So it would be helpful to know what we're using from 2020 and what we're using from 2021.
Yeah, I can do that. I'll separate that out on the CAR form for the council meeting.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else with questions before we proceed with this? Okay, so we have a motion and a second recommending the City Council adopt a resolution entering into agreement with Bolton and Mink for professional services related to the Highway 12 lift station elimination. Further discussion? We shall vote. Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Ask.
Aye.
Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Now we are to the Invest in Wilmer projects. The first of which we are going to discuss the advertisement of bids for the Invest in Wilmer Events and Recreation Center project. Mr. Baumgarten.
Good evening, Chair, member of the committee. Tonight's recommended action will be for the City Council to adopt a resolution approving the plans and specification and authorize advertisement for bids for the Invest in Wilmer Events and Recreation Center. As we all know that we passed the low cost and sales tax back in 2018, the citizens voted for pickleball courts, tennis courts, seating for concerts and show, a kitchen area, a kids place area, locker rooms, meeting rooms, and an outdoor covered sheet of ice. A subcommittee has been developed. They've been working with LSE, who's the architect of this project, and Marcus Construction, who's our construction manager. And probably to know that this is, when they did a priority list, this is going to be the fourth one of the six as far as their priority goes. This presentation and project has gone through the presentations for the public. That was in February 6th. It has been discussed at the Invest in Wilmer Committee on February 10th and the Park and Recreation Board on yesterday. They have reviewed and approved the plans and specification, and it's their recommendation for the council to adopt a resolution and the plans and specs and authorizing the advertisement for bids for this project. At this time, we have Gretchen Otness, who is the chair of the event/rec center. She is on board along with the architects from LSE, and we can turn the presentation over to Gretchen at this time.
Thank you, Rob. Yep, Gretchen, as soon as you're ready, you are free to go ahead. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having us today. We are excited to show you this project. We have put 2+ years of work into this, so we're really looking forward to getting it moved on and hopefully breaking ground as soon as possible. So yes, I am Gretchen. I'm the chair of the Rec and Event Center subcommittee of Invest in Wilmer. And I'm actually just gonna hand it over to Chris, who is our architect with LSE, and he's gonna walk us through the project. And then we can go to questions.
Thank you, Gretchen. I'm here with Randy in our office, and then Maura is listening in online. And so we're the architectural team working with Paulson & Clark Engineering and our civil team, which is Bolton Mank, who you're also working with. So the project that we're working on is the Recreation Event Center that has been introduced. It's part of a larger master plan for your Civic Center site, which includes at this point the playfields, which I'm not sure when you're having a presentation on that, but is currently also in design with a different firm, as well as the curling center, which has been contracted with an architecture firm in the early stages of design. So we're starting to work closely with the curling center to figure out how connections will work, how the site will be shared between the two. Other projects that will happen in the future on the site will be a covered ice rink, a locker room addition, and a sports dome. But really the project we're working on directly is this recreation and event center. So looking a little bit out from the site, we're going to be reworking some of the parking lot for flow, for drop off, that should improve direction, safety, as well as just the overall entry environment. And then the addition, which is happening on the southwest portion of the building. And this is looking more closely. So it's a 25,000, almost 26,000 square foot addition of the recreation center, meeting rooms, as well as a lobby addition and renovation. Looking more closely at the lobby, there will be a new covered entry, a new vestibule. The lobby itself will have a small addition, as well as replacing and upgrading some of the finishes in there. It'll have the addition of a children's playroom that's visible from the lobby, as well as 2 meeting rooms, 2 changing rooms, a shower room, and toilet facilities. Looking at the recreation and event space itself, it'll be a 2-station gym, which will have 2 basketball courts, 2 volleyball courts, 2 tennis courts, or 8 pickleball courts. It will be split possible to split it into two rooms using this operable partition, which is really a wall. It'll be an acoustic separation allowing for two different events to occur at the same time. This can also then be opened up to have the entire gym. Looking at the back of house space, there is going to be what you kind of expect, your receiving, your storage, your mechanical. There will also be a warming kitchen. This will have a three-compartment sink, a hand wash sink, spaces for caterers to put their warming carts, and space for them to set up. And for smaller events that might not have caterers, there will be a counter space for serving. This won't be a full commercial kitchen. You wouldn't be able to cook food in here, but you'll be able to do the final preparation for it, as well as there will be some space, for instance, the three-compartment sink to take plates back and do some initial cleanup. To the north of the event space, there'll be this pre-function space. So this will serve as space for gathering before events, for maybe a small amount of booths, as well as it's going to be the connection to the curling club. So the curling club, we've set up a connection here for them to be able to bring a connection as theirs is further into design, really serving to be a good neighbor to them and make it as easy as possible for a connection. There's also going to be an event courtyard. So through the summer months and the bumper seasons, you'll be able to use this as an expanded space within your event center. So this is starting to look at what the exterior would look like, especially looking at this top one, which is your front facade. You know, people who are coming to Willmar for the first time, this is what they're going to be seeing when they're coming for different events or coming for hockey tournaments. So popping up the vestibule here, making it really clear and easy where the entry is, whether you're going to the Recreation Event Center or the Blue Line or any other part of the Civic Center that you might need to. Starting to look at materials, one of the big things, actually, maybe going back, is seeing that there's quite a bit of glazing on this south side of the event center that will let in a lot of natural light. It's going to be a mix of at the base, you're going to have glass, you'll be able to see through. Parents who are coming to pick up their kids from the rec center will be able to see in the end of the practices. But above, we're going to be using these translucent wall panels. They filter the light. They actually throw it further into the space, which helps for daylighting, that there are significant portions of the day you wouldn't even need lights on. But it brings the light in a way that you're not getting the glare from the sun, so that it's not hindering sport activities that might be happening on the other side. We're also going to be using precast wall panels. They're a long-lasting material, but that we also have a lot of design opportunities in them for adding pigments and textures. And then finally, metal panels looking to add perhaps some color to the building or texture. So this is looking at a rendering right at the entrance, what people are going to be seeing coming in, looking at perhaps two tones of precast panels and a little bit of texture. And then this is looking further back at the entire center from the parking lot. And at this time, we'll open up the floor to any questions.
Hey, thank you for that presentation and the overall overview. It's really nice renderings and super high quality imagery. It's nice because it gives us a view of, for those of us that haven't seen it, it gives us a nice view of what we're talking about, and it allows us to kind of see into the future, I guess. Let's open it up for dialogue from the committee. How do you feel? Go ahead, Councilwoman Nelson.
All right, I will go first. At the local option sales tax meeting, there was a request to see some operational costs and budgeting for what this would cost us to operate. And I thought we were going to be receiving that. I did listen to the meeting that Park and Rec did, and there was no new information presented there either. And so I am reluctant to move forward with this without having an understanding of what it means to the operating costs or opportunities, however you want to look at it, for revenue or expense. And so I would say that until we receive that, I don't think the council should be making a decision until we understand that. And so I'm questioning whether we shouldn't just be tabling it at this point in time until that information is received.
We do have one updated piece of operational costs, which is estimated utilities. Averaged over the entire year, with the knowledge that times with cooling, maybe a little bit higher or heavy heating, it's going to be coming out to about $4,300 a month. I can pull up. I emailed Rob, but it was late in the day yesterday, so it might not have been $4,400 a month.
I guess I was expecting something from Park and Rec on what they expect their cost changes would be also. I'm just really concerned whether we should be looking at raising taxes. And the second reason is that the council has been asked to look at how we would fund City Hall too. And I just see us needing to prioritize. And it would be nice to know if it's not a huge amount. But right now we don't. I mean, the utilities doesn't lend itself to just the total operating cost. There's cleaning, there's staffing, there's lots of other factors that go into operating an event center of this size. And I like the drawings. You know, I know there's some concerns about the priorities of the project, and I think the committee has gone through and done that. But I'm really struggling with whether this is the right time for the city to move forward with this project. And I think that's something we deserve to see before we move forward.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Nelson. Rob, any thoughts to the question that was asked regarding operational costs? Is that information that we can pull together in somewhat of a timely manner so as to not, I'm not going to say throw this way off track, but I mean, everybody, timeliness is something that's on everybody's mind. What's the timing for all this stuff? Is having something together, looking at operational costs, is that a realistic kind of deal at this point?
Chair, yes. We've been working on it as staff-wise and working on, you know, what it would cost to put on if we had to bring on a custodian or another public works operator to make sure that we have the right dollar amount with the benefits on there. We've also been doing a cost analysis of all the programs of how it would be a cost revenue type of scenario about what, how much revenue we would have in, how much part-time staff would be there. So those numbers would be available. I mean, we could get them to you probably early next week. We just want to make sure when the information goes out to you, it is very clear and defined about what programs that we're doing and dollar amounts and everything.
Okay. Thank you. Yep, go ahead, Audrey.
Based off from that, you know, if it's our job as the Public Works Committee to recommend this, then I would move that we table this until our next Public Works meeting to receive that information and review it before we make a recommendation to the council.
Okay, we have a motion to table the requested motion. Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second tabling this agenda item or this particular motion. Discussion regarding that motion.
Is this information that can be given to the council before we meet? So we could still send the question on to the full council and the full information will be there when we gather next time?
I mean, this is something that, you know, the action that we take, anybody can vote to because this will be in the consent agenda, that this is the action that was taken. So anybody can pull this particular piece and we can discuss it at the next council meeting. And I guess that would be a time where, you know, if there was any additional information disseminated in between now and then, we could include that in that discussion, I guess. Councilwoman Nelson is correct that if we're going to follow the proper steps and procedures, I understand why this particular motion was presented as it was. And I just personally, from an opinion of mine, I guess, I don't want to slow the project down. I like the project and I want to see the project happen. However, I do know that there are other local option sales tax projects, for example, that when it became known, when certain operational costs of certain attributes became known, that changed the entire direction of some of those projects. So I do agree with Councilwoman Nelson that I think it's pretty important that something like that be discussed. I don't think it has to, you know, I'm not expecting it to kill the project at all, but it is part of our due diligence as a committee. If we're going to make a recommendation, we want to feel confident in that recommendation so that if and when it's discussed at the council level, we can feel confident that we decided to forward it to the council. It should be a tight package that we feel good about. Councilwoman Nelson.
My hope would be that us reviewing it and bringing it forth with a good recommendation, once we understand it, would be very positive for this project. And, you know, I think we've all been receiving questions and comments, and I just think it's important for us to do our due diligence and be ready to not have this extended conversation take place at the council table, but to go forward with clear information that helps the council to understand why we are doing what we're doing.
Agreed. And if I can just piggyback off of that, I don't see it so much as a motion against the project or in favor of the project. It's nothing like that. It's more just like, well, we've dotted all of our I's and crossed all of our T's so that it can go to the council with a unanimous committee and all the different, you know, the Park and Rec board and the local option sales tax board has full steam behind it so that we can move. Councilwoman Osmus, followed by Nelson.
Another piece of information that I think we've been waiting on also is from the CVB and Beth Fisher for some further information about what kind of events we would need this event space for. I believe at the community meeting, she had just stepped out of the meeting for a little bit, and it was at that point when they were talking about what kind of events possibly we could draw to the city in that event space, besides what we already have with the Blue Line Center and the Cardinal Arena. The other thing that I just want to go on record with is I'm struggling about that third sheet of ice and getting a lot of feedback about if that's the priority. And again, I know this committee has put in hours, many, many hours over 2 years. And if money was no object, I know it would be in there. But not everybody can have what they wanted, but that was a big piece of the people who went door to door and pushed for the local option sales tax was the hockey people. And I have to be a voice for them as well.
Yep. Councilwoman Nelson.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that, you know, I know Gretchen made this comment and they've worked very hard on it. This is not about the design. This is how the city plans to use it and market it and to do those things. And that falls back to Park and Rec. And it was a question that was asked and I believe answered that it would be available before we needed to make our decision. And so that is my reason for asking us to just hold to get that information to reinforce what the committee has brought to us. So it is not a negative against the design, but it is a further clarification for us as council members to be responsible to move this project forward.
Andrew, can I make a comment? This is Gretchen. Sorry, I don't have my camera on.
You may go ahead.
Perfect, thanks. So I just want to, since I haven't really spoke much in front of this group, just a handful of people have been on other committees. I guess I just want to make a comment about the questions that we're getting regarding operational costs. The three things really that were outlined here: operational costs, why we would need an event center, what we're going to use it for, and the third sheet of ice. And I think the overarching thing that we as a subcommittee are struggling when we constantly are hearing these things is that this project and all the pieces of it were presented to voters, which includes everybody in this community. It is not a hockey project, and they are the only ice activity that will use that third sheet of ice. Someone wanted an event center, otherwise it wouldn't have been put on the list of things to build and create and what we spent 2 years designing. And obviously any project is going to have operational costs. You can't get around that. So I guess I just want to put this out there that when all of these things are starting to kind of hold us up, first of all, they could have been questions asked years ago as we were in the planning and creation process and designing process, but also that this was voted on by this community. And these were things that they wanted. Now, yes, there maybe was one particular group that was very looking forward to a certain piece of the project, but we as a committee were tasked with using the monies available, which I have to side note and say, the monies allotted for this project were poorly done. $10 million doesn't even come close to what we would need to get everything that they wanted us to give them. It's just not going to happen. It's pure dollars and cents. It's very black and white. So aside from that, we knew we could not get you everything that was on that list. It's just not going to happen. So we were maximizing and streamlining this budget to fit as many things as possible into the final design. And that's what we've done. And I understand that the third sheet of ice is desired by some. It's not desired by everybody. It's not what everybody that voted for was really, you know, that's not the only thing they were voting for. They were voting for every piece of this project. The ice can happen as a standalone project. To do that would basically eliminate the rest of the event center, because this is a big puzzle. You kind of have to do all the puzzle pieces together, but the ice can happen on its own, no different than the locker rooms or the bubble that the rec fields are going to tell you they're not going to be able to do. All of those things can happen separately when funds and things are there afterward. But right now, if we want to use the money that's been allotted, and believe me, that money is slowly ticking away the longer that this process goes on, then this is the project that is going to get us the bang for our buck, which is what our community voted on. So I understand if there's some questions. Obviously, if you're not going to vote it through, we'll get you those answers, and hopefully you'll see this is worthwhile and you'll pass it on. But I just need it to be said that, you know, we were asked to do something, which is provide as much as possible with the money we were given, and that's really what we've done. And I understand that there's frustration from certain groups. In the end, in, you know, hindsight's 2020, the rink probably should have been a seventh project for Invest in Wilmer. When it comes down to it, if that was so important to a group, it probably shouldn't have been connected with the greater event center, because it at this point is separate things. So just wanted to put that out there. Please keep that in mind as you are getting the information that you're wanting, as you're hearing things from certain people that are frustrated or whatever they're sharing with you behind the scenes. So, and yeah, thank you guys for your time.
Okay, thank you, Gretchen. Yeah, I guess myself personally, and I hope I can speak on behalf of the committee, I am not working based off of any frustration that I'm hearing. The only thing that I am I'm concerned about is, yeah, just having a view of what these operational costs are going to be. Year one, year two, three, and on into the future, if future positions are going to be needed, that way we can make a well-rounded decision. I do believe this is a community You know, this is a community project, and we have lots of different facets to that. But to the question, I think staff knows what we're looking for in terms of operational costs and numbers. I think given those operational costs and numbers, we can make a well-educated decision as soon as possible at the correct time. So I am going to, with the sake of time on our hands here, I'm going to have to call a question, and we're going to have to vote. A motion has been made and seconded to table the agenda item for the Invest in Willmar Recreation Center. Further discussion before we vote? All right, we shall vote. Councilman Ask.
No.
Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman votes aye. 3 ayes, 1 no. The motion to table prevails. That motion is tabled. Final agenda item, and thank you for being with us tonight, and thank you for presenting. Appreciate taking a look at the project, and we look forward to seeing it back in front of us soon. And I do apologize because we are running short on time. Looks like I got about 9 minutes, but I think we've seen this before, so hopefully we can slam through it. I know you guys have done really hard work, so thank you for being here all. We will be discussing the Invest in Willmar Recreation Fields project. Mr. Baumgartner. I think you're on mute.
I say I came to say sorry because you couldn't hear me anyway. But my motion is to recommend the City Council to adopt a resolution approving the plans and specs and authorize advertisement for bids for the Invest in Willmar project for the recreation fields. We all know that the sales tax is going on. One thing with the architects, it's going to be with Widseth, and Marcus is still working as it as a construction manager. I know we're going to get short on time, so I'll just kind of turn it over to Tony, and he can introduce WSN so we can get through the presentation.
Welcome, Tony. Thank you.
Hey, sorry about that. So, hi, Tony. Thank you for inviting us. I'll introduce Dana Helbicek, architect from Whitseth Smith and Nolting, that's been working with us on our recreational fields projects. I think you guys will really like what you see, and I think it's pretty straightforward, and we sure would appreciate your vote of support and move towards City Council approval so we can go to bid letting. So Dana, take it away, please.
Thanks, Tony. I will be as quick as I can on this. Thank you for taking your time. I know many of you have seen this presentation. Some of you have not, so I will proceed as if you haven't. Please ask questions as I go through. Team we're working on this project is myself, Dana Leibachuk, Widseth Architects. Anderson Johnson is our turf consultant. Marcus Construction is our project manager. And of course, the City of Willmar. As you know, the project is located adjacent to the current Civic Center in the northeast part of Willmar. Project is it's a single phase project with two locations. The first is the turf fields on the north. Second component is the softball complex, a wheel of four fields on the south. The green that you see here, the bright green, is the phase of this project, is this component of the north. We identified the future components. You can see there's dashed in gray, so working from left to right. This project includes a 93,000 square foot synthetic turf, which will eventually be the future dome project. I think that was mentioned in the last presentation. Excuse me. The second field on the right is a synthetic turf of 90,900. The difference in size is due to batting cages, which will be incorporated into the dome on the north and on the south end of the 93,000 square foot field. We're accounting for new light fixtures at this time as part of this bid package. The light fixtures or the lights will be on poles on the west side or the left side of the leftmost field or westmost field. There will be two poles in the center. Between the two fields, those two poles will share heads that will light both turf fields. The second set of poles will be on the right-hand side on both sides of the future visitor bleachers, and those poles will light the synthetic turf to the east. We are planning for a future parking lot of 160 stalls, which will address or feed the dome when that part is up. The high school stadium will include a future track, future home and away bleachers of 5,000 seats, 9-lane running track, I think I mentioned that already, high jump, shot put, as well as a pole vault and other track and field events. Okay. And then the second component to the project is the four, or the one wheel with four fields located on the south side of the Civic Center. This will include a championship field with an alternate for masonry dugouts. The field will also be complemented with bullpens at each field, as well as a batting cage on the outside of the championship field. In the center of the complex, we're planning a concession stand. I'll show you that in just a second here. But as you look around the field, you'll see future scoreboards, future lighting, and those components are being built into the concession stand now, so we can easily add that at a later time. The concession stand is minimalistic. It's simple. We put a storage room on the end for recreation or our high school teams, whichever would need it. We have handicap accessible restrooms, as well as storage and concessions on the east side. On both the east and the west, there'll be covered seating. This will be a storm shelter or a relief from a storm, major storm event, as well as covered seating. It could be a tournament, gathering space in the event of a softball tournament, or just picnic tables, however it needs to be used. Presentations, as we're here on Public Works, February 18th, we've presented to the public, to Park and Recreation yesterday. Invest in Wilmer was last week, and the public presentation was on February 3rd. Ahead of us, we have the City Council on March 1. Following the City Council approval, we will move into public bidding for 3 weeks between March 2nd and March 26. Pending bids work out in our favor, we'll move ahead with subcontractor bids after the City Council approval on April 12th, with spring construction 2021. We're anticipated to be complete with construction by this fall. Sorry to have moved through that so fast. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you, Dana. Seems pretty cut and dry. Committee, Councilwoman Osmus.
One question. The yep. Parking by the turf fields is until we have enough money to be able to do those in concrete or whatever we do them in, will they just be dirt?
Yeah, that'll just be an empty field at this time. And when I say we're planning for a future parking lot, what I mean is we're making sure that our electrical components, we have ready in the cabinet, transformers, and we're running our electrical conduits for our lights, as well as a future connection to the entry building to the turf field. We're making sure that we're working around that parking space. We're actually leaving the whole west side of the lot of that site available for parking, whether that's more to the north or to the south. That hasn't even been designed yet. We just wanted to make sure we could accommodate that at this time.
Okay, I just wanted to know, and until we could asphalt it, is it that it would still be set up to be able to be gravel and utilized for parking?
Yeah, I don't think you would really need it at this time with the high school parking lot right there and close adjacency to the Civic Center. You probably wouldn't need it. You're not going to probably have large events. When the dome is up, then you'll be hosting, a Jenny Finch softball camp, and you'll have 300 campers in that bubble on a Saturday afternoon. Then you'll need those parking stalls for that event, or whatever it might be.
Councilmember Osmus, I think that's going to stay green space, because like Dana said, we're not going to need that parking lot until we can secure funding for the bubble. So we feel we have adequate parking both on the north and the south to handle events that we're going to host for the community, park and rec, adult leagues, those things.
Okay, thank you, Dana, Tony. Mr. Baumgarten, I saw you had your hand up.
Yeah, currently we have youth football that goes on out there, and so the high school parking lot is utilized too, and then the frontage road just north of the Civic Center is also used. So right now we don't have an issue with the parking, but like Dana said, once the future dome comes up, then the parking lot will have to be constructed.
Okay, thank you. Councilwoman Nelson.
Thank you. At the local option sales tax meeting again, I actually made a motion to move this forward, but there were questions about stormwater and the stormwater design that still needed to be incorporated into this. Are we any further along with that? And it's also my understanding that the attorneys between the school and the city are still, the land is not done yet. So are we ready with either one of those subjects for tonight?
Okay, I can address the stormwater. We've actually moved in a couple different directions on that, and we finalized that. If you look in the bottom right-hand corner, can you see my mouse moving around? I think you can. Yeah? No? Okay, on the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see that kind of a horseshoe shaped square. Okay. That was the original design for the pond. The second option would be to dump that stormwater into the pond across the street. I believe that's called Lake
Marley,
thank you. But because it's a protected wetland around the perimeter of the lake, we would have to enlarge it, and that would require wetland delineation. So in the end, what we decided to do was create a new stormwater holding pond just to the southeast of Lake Marley, right where it says the word track. We would be excavating that component right there. We don't just disturb the wetlands that are currently at Lake Marley. We leave the green space adjacent to the track and field events, and we bring that stormwater right across the street to this empty lot right here. And that has been resolved, and that's how our team is moving forward with the design.
Okay, thank you. And where are we at with with regards to the discussion with the school district? Anybody want to field that? Mr. Grammons.
I have had discussions with the city attorney, and the city attorney has had discussions with the school attorney. And as of yesterday, the city attorney was waiting for revisions to the agreement, but the city attorney has stated that he feels confident that it is not a complex, serious issue. It's a very, very simple agreement. I think they've come to agreement verbally. They're just looking at the words on paper right now. So I would say within, you know, probably by the end of next week, we should have the document, which is agreeable to both entities.
Do you feel confident that we could potentially have something before the next council meeting?
I would hope so, because we need to get something to the next school board meeting. That's the soonest they can get to it, and we need to get through the process to get it to them so they can approve it, and then we can, you know, kind of move forward on it.
Councilman Nelson.
Mr. Graham, it's based off from that. Can we make a recommendation tonight? Are we ready to do that, or do we need to wait for those actions to take place before it can go to the city council?
Well, we're the city council is not necessarily moving forward, you know, until they meet again. So, you know, right now, I guess I'm on the fence, because even though the pond has been moved over to where the word track is, and it seems like a great spot, I just asked the question, who owns that dirt?
The school does.
What's that?
The school does.
Yeah, and even though, you know, maybe we've all figured out that it's a good spot for it, I have had no dialogue with the school about turning that spot into a holding pond. So there's things that probably need to be worked out yet before we could really say yes. And it pains me to say that, but as an administrator, I'm saying I'd like to see all these issues dealt with so the council can make a clear decision to move forward. And like as is being, you know, insinuated, we don't have the agreement for the land, and I've not even seen the document with the revisions to even know about the stormwater on their school property. So unless somebody can you know, reinforce that and inform me that they're all good with it and it's in a document somewhere that we can take our stormwater and move it over there. I think I saw Rob's hand go up, so maybe he can elucidate me.
Yeah, Rob, enlighten us.
Yeah, the corner that they're talking about is actually city property. Over in that, we just looked it up on GIS, and also I've informed them that there might be have to be some further conversation about the stormwater going into Lake Marley or onto that area of land.
Councilman Nelson.
I'm sorry, but in light of Administrator Grammett's comments, I'm going to move to table this one for different reasons, just to make sure we've crossed the T's and dotted the I's and that we can move quickly when we're ready to go.
Okay, we have a motion to table. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to table until we have these last couple items tied up. And believe me, it pains me to do that, but because this committee that I'm a part of and I've seen all the hard work, and I do believe this is all going to happen. But again, we got our hands slapped when not doing it correctly before. So I want to make absolutely sure we're doing it correctly this time, because we're not going to go through the same growing pains. I do that once and I learn from it. Further comment to the motion made? Okay, we have a motion on the table and a second tabling the project until we are provided those final pieces of information. We had the answer regarding the stormwater, but we do not know what relevance, as well as the legal final legal agreement that may or may not exist with the school, and we don't have that documentation yet. So the motion would be to table until it can be discussed next. Further discussion before we vote? We shall vote. Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Osk.
Aye.
Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman votes aye. 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion is tabled. Thank you for the presentation tonight. Confident that if we wrap up these last couple bits, I as frustrated as I know a few of you may be with the process, it is not a delightful process for us either. We have to make sure that it gets done correctly, but I feel like we're that close. So if we can get these last little bits put back together, I feel like this is something that's going to go through and we can do it quickly. And now it's, but we all know the clock is ticking, so we can't waste any time or drag our feet. It's got to be ready to go the next time we can meet about it. And if I got to call a special meeting, actually, if it falls on Public Works and we've got to call a special meeting, I am willing to do so. So as soon as it's ready to go, if somebody contacts me and says, get it in front of Public Works so that we can take action and get it in front of the council, I'm willing to call a special meeting anytime, night or day, to make that happen. So just so you know, that's where I'm at. Anything for the good of the committee before we adjourn to head off to finance? Okay, looking for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Have a good